I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and this is Radio versus the Martians.
So we decided to bring Sam Mulvey, a frequent contributor, a frequent whipping boy, as we make him watch Zack Snyder movies with his eyes taped open.
Yeah.
We get a surprise!
Yeah.
It's Sucker Punch!
Local torture subject.
Well,
yes, hello.
We often preview what topics we're going to be doing on the show, even if Sam's not going to be on them, because he's here all the time, obviously.
Yeah, you know, it helps that I'm really nearby.
Right. And we talked about open world, and we were months ago, and you said, aren't you going to have Minecraft? And I was like, well, it didn't even occur to me that Minecraft was an open world game.
Right.
Thus, exposing a gap in my knowledge, a pool of ignorance. Because
okay, well, I wasn't around for the actual discussion.
That's okay. We mentioned Minecraft just once, and that was actually Patrick who did.
But during our discussion downstairs, there was the reason Minecraft didn't come into it is because you guys had a definition of open world gaming that kind of diverged from mine.
Well,
so
I had a definition of open world that diverged from yours, but I think anyone who just listened would know that it was sort of nebulous, and it was about a world being open and allowing player freedom, and allowing you to create emergent that creates emergent stories to yourself versus being on a linear path.
Right.
A point A to point B.
Yeah.
And neither Mike nor myself have actually played Minecraft. So this is sort of completely uncharted territory for us.
Am I the only one who plays Minecraft?
No, I play Minecraft.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. All right.
And Kinsey has played Minecraft too.
It's like, are the bats coming out?
So I guess, Sam, since you're the advocate here, is Minecraft to anyone who's not like an 11-year-old boy or us, I guess, example. I'm basically like an 11-year-old boy, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being called an 11-year-old boy. Beats being called a human tire fire. Let's see. I'm not even certain how to describe it. It's a 8-bit style survival video game where you just build crap out of blocks. And a lot of mining is involved, thus the name Minecraft.
Right. And mining and crafting.
The
two things most important to the game.
Yeah, the thing that really, I think, attracted me to the game when I first started playing it was the relative lack of documentation. It was like, here you are.
That's a curious quirk, singular to you.
Yeah.
I don't like to know anything about the game.
No, it's literally, literally something out of an episode of the A-Team. You get dropped off in the middle of a vast wilderness. Fuck off. Have a good time. What are you going to do? What do I do?
That sounds like a game that Patrick is really into.
Yeah,
Patrick is always into games where you start off naked and alone and you have to survive.
True. That's my genre. Yeah. I like playing things that are close to real life. Yeah.
Part of the Gary Busey DLC.
Yeah.
I don't know where I am. I'm not really sure who am I am.
Have I mentioned that I'm shit at describing video games? Unless it's like something like obvious like Mario.
No,
you jump around and shit.
I think it's difficult to describe.
So Minecraft is procedurally generated.
There's that.
The world that you're in, as opposed to some open world games that are designed, it's based on random elements. And so every world that you build is based on a random seed and is different from any other Minecraft world based on any other seed.
So procedurally designed in this case means that nobody's making maps. They're all based off of algorithms. The algorithms in the case of Minecraft, they've defined several biomes like desert, tundra, forest, weirdo German forest with mushrooms, place where mushrooms grow on cows, which I think is a horror movie, right?
I think it's called Chernobyl.
Okay, yeah. and stuff like that. And while we're talking about the technical aspects of it, it runs on Java. What the fuck?
Well, it's the best they could do at the time, I guess.
It's amazing because it's the work of one guy and has recently surpassed something to become the second best-selling game of all time.
Right.
So it's Tetris is number one and Minecraft is number two.
Yeah, it was one guy. Now it, you know, he turned it into a company. Now he's gone.
Yeah, that's right.
And now the major architects are like two other guys. company's now owned by Microsoft. Yeah. I think that needs to be tossed in there somewhere, which as somebody who's an enormous open source zealot advocate nerd fascist, whatever you want to call me.
Freedom fighter.
Freedom fighter. Yeah. That puts me in a strange position.
It's kind of weird. It's been a lot of things that we have start out as something smallish and get bought up by some huge conglomerate.
Yeah.
Disney owns everything in pop culture nowadays.
The next 90 plus years. Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that Disney doesn't own Minecraft. Because, I mean, it seems like anytime there's anything.
Disney Soft. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I needed that idea in my brain.
Yeah, they're going to buy Microsoft now.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Could go either way.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
But, Kinsey, I think you said something very provocative outside of this, is that you are have played Minecraft before, and yet you don't like it. What's to not like, I guess?
I'm not a fan. Like, I did have my initial, I love open world games, so I wandered around and oohed and aahed at everything. But I can't, I've had this feeling with other games too. I don't like games that don't have objectives. I'm also a menu whore. The more crafting menus, the better, which this one started off looking pretty good.
Mm.
But like, there's something about no story. I don't make a story on my own. I get my handhelds a little bit, and then that story, like in Skyrim, becomes my story. When I've talked to so many people about Minecraft, I've been on a couple of podcasts where people just go on Minecraft tangents, and it sounds so beautiful the way they talk about it. They're like, well, I have this town, I have this job, I'm the hunter-gatherer, I do this, I do this, this person does this for me, and it's like this whole little like Minecraft like commune thing. And they make it sound so wonderful. But every time I go into it, I'm like, this is not what I want. And I'm not a builder of things. I built a house in Minecraft, and it looked like a pile of shit. And I'm like, well, I guess I live here now. This is my life. And there's something about not having the objectives, not having the quests, not having all these things that I can't do it.
Well, as the staunch defender of Minecraft, I suppose I have to point out that it does have objectives now, or at least it has for the last 3 or 4 years. They've got like bosses you have to go kill. I've never done it because I don't really care. but I can definitely see, like, so the reason that you don't like the game sounds a lot like the reason I like the game. Yeah. I get dropped in a field, say, off you go, fuck ass. and that's it. And there's no, what am I doing? What am I here? What am I here for? Don't know.
Better go hit some trees.
Yeah, go punch a tree.
Punch trees. Yeah, and it occurs to me that there's another factor here that we haven't addressed, which should be entirely visible to anyone who sees the plethora of Minecraft-branded tchotchkes all over the, plastered all over the universe, which is that Minecraft is a game that appeals to the Lego sensibility, which is why you have kids, like 5-6-year-old kids, that are utterly obsessed with Minecraft.
Which leaves me in a particularly creepy position when I go to places like Camp Quest Northwest, and I get these really in-depth conversations with kids. I get strange looks from other counselors. It's like, what the hell are you? Like, you talking philosophy over there? No, we're talking about the best way to build a creeper trap.
Yep.
I think this is a creeper trap.
Oh. Ta-da! But the reason I play it is honestly is because it's actually relaxing. Between all the podcast stuff that I'm doing now and the code that I'm writing and buying a house and things like that, I don't have a lot of time to play games, and I don't have a lot of time to relax. And I've sort of optimized by turning those things into the same period of time a lot of the times. I'll be honest with you, I haven't played Minecraft in probably about a month right now. I know 1.9 came out where they implemented dual wielding and kind of nerfed brewing, which is, surprise, my favorite activity. what I like about Minecraft is that since it's self-directed, I have like these, okay, I'm building, like right now on my server, I'm building like an underwater base. Because I've never done it before.
Cool.
Where it's completely self-sufficient, supplies food and cows and strange mushroom cows. So I go on there and I play it, and I'm actually relaxed because I'm good at it now. I haven't rage quit in at least 6 months. I build stuff. It's got sort of a zen quality when I'm really like in the zone with it. And that calms me, where a really like solid game with a solid narrative and an amazing engine and all of that stuff, I don't walk away from those games feeling less tense. For example, like we were talking Left 4 Dead. before. The thing is, that's a great game. It's got a really solid narrative. I played it for 15 minutes, and I felt way worse than I did when I started playing it. Because it's got a really good story.
Well, the point that you're dancing around, I think you didn't sit in on the panel that we just finished, that our listeners listened to a week ago, is that you do have the option to walk, if you wanted to, simply walk away mm-hmm. from the main plot. You could just simply just say, I'm not doing this. And it could be an enchanting and relaxing experience just to go explore a place. And it sounds like you've elaborated just that, is that it can be that, right? It can
right.
be just this sort of zen experience of exploring and a stress relief activity.
But where you've got a story like, where you got a game like Skyrim or Driver San Francisco or something like that, where it's got...
Driver.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and technically open world. Yeah. I mean, you can't do much in it. But, yeah. Is that there's a plot. And I feel like if I'm just... On these really good games, if I feel like I'm not participating in the plot, I'm basically pissing away my time. I feel like I'm somehow missing out on something important on the game. Where... In Minecraft, the bosses and the quote-unquote story, it's a complete afterthought. You skip it and you miss nothing.
It wasn't even there the first time I played it,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It probably wasn't.
They wanted to have an answer to people who say there's no point to the game, right? So
yeah.
they added sort of a token progression in boss system and stuff like that.
But like how everyone describes it to me just like that, it doesn't intrigue me to play it at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it is Legos at some level. What makes it great is that there is a cost for each Lego, right? So if you want to build something out of iron, you have to go get the iron and smelt it. And that makes that building block and those resources feel more special, feel more important, and it adds worth to the things that you build, similar to
and
how...
It has the IKEA thing too, right? Why do people, other than the incredibly inexpensive cost of a piece of furniture for IKEA. Mm-hmm. Why does it make people feel the way it does? Well, because you have a sense of ownership, not just because you bought it, but you put it together yourself. And I think that in Minecraft is the thing that keeps that bringing people back. Just like settlements in Fallout 4, you did this with your own two virtual hands.
Right.
That makes it mine. You know,
craft.
Yeah. The last map that I just retired at the beginning of the year was pretty interesting. It's like I was at the point of installing indoor plumbing in that house. That was like a really big deal. It's like, crap, I can do indoor plumbing now. This is amazing. Where there's just like I got bins I can throw items into and they just get sort of sorted into my item sorting bin. And it worked out really great. But I imagine you talked about emergent gameplay a bit in the panel.
Yes, of course.
Honestly, with a lot of those other open world games, I think the story kind of gets in the way of emergent gameplay a little bit. Where in Minecraft, because there's nothing there, because it is such a minimal game, emergent gameplay is the only thing it basically does. Metagaming, and I don't mean gaming with knowledge that you're not supposed to have as a player. I mean gaming with inside of the game is a serious pastime inside of Minecraft. Minecraft has sports. And sports leagues. and then, you know, on top of all the griefing and all the weird stuff that you get in any open world game on servers and stuff like that. But what is the sport called? Is it spliff or something like spleef or sploof or I don't know.
Spliff?
It sounds like something you do with marijuana paraphernalia.
Yeah, that's a game that I play, but I don't know about Minecraft.
It does sound relaxing, though.
Well, it would be something that I honestly would try if I felt like I had the time to burn. But I mean, going back to what we were talking about before, I guess I'm the opposite of you, Sam, is that I'll either like spend 20 minutes playing yet another game of FTL that I've played God knows how many hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Or I'll chip away at some progress on something like Witcher 3, a game that I know that is so big that I will never get through it. I know that I'll never get through it, but I love the iteration. I love incrementing on it.
I think for me, it's that the not having a task and stuff, I guess I can put myself a little bit in Kinsey's boat here, but it's I have no place where I can say, okay, now I'm done. And I think I need that. I think I need to hit the point where I'm really kind of out of quests. I don't have a direction. I have a sense of accomplishment. I feel like I did a lot.
And usually there's maybe one DLC I end up not doing. I did almost everything you can do in Skyrim. I did the vampire DLC. I built a bunch of houses in the second set of DLCs. And then I did the one where you're supposed to go to the other island, and I started it, but I just never ended up finishing it. I might never go back to it. I might go back to it eventually, but it felt like there was a time to stop. And part of me, knowing how much of a time sink things like Ultima Online was for me, I'm a little bit scared of having a completely open-ended building experience, because at least in Fallout 4 Settlements, there's a point where I can't put any more blocks in this space.
Yeah.
It makes you limited. It's like, mm-mm.
And I get angry because I really want to put a cool neon sign on my bar. But
if I could tie this to bad media, because us talking about this kind of made me think about the So Bad It's Good episode, if I can tie this into other Radio versus the Martians Apocrypha, is where you've got a terrible movie that you know is terrible and is bankrupt of quality. You're given basically a blank slate towards your interface to it. The artistry of the director or the writer or the producer is basically out the door. So you make your own deal with that movie when you watch it, whether you're going to enjoy it, how you're going to enjoy it, under what circumstances you're going to watch it. Where I have to be very careful about how I watch good movies, because they're very engrossing and they tend to take over my brain for a little bit, so I have to schedule it out. Where with a bad movie, I define my own interface. I can put it on and go off and do something else. I'm not going to be focused just on the movie. And I suppose it's a bit same with Minecraft. So the reason I like it is the reason you guys hate it, it sounds like.
I wouldn't say.
Is that what I'm coming?
I haven't hated it. I know my...
Okay, hating it's too strong.
Well, it's the same reason I never got into things like World of Warcraft, is that
Christ,
I know me.
World of Warcraft.
Well, it's a thing. I go into this open-ended thing that never ends, and I can grind it forever.
Hey, it ended when I played it.
No, I take your point. I don't play World of Warcraft anymore because there's no point where I'm like, okay, I can put this down now.
Yeah.
Minecraft is something I do always... It's not that there's nothing to do. There are projects. They're just self-directed projects. Mm-hmm. There's things that I am trying to accomplish. There does come a point where I've done the easy stuff that I wanted to do, and my more ambitious stuff, I cease to care. My castles remain half-built. I have never gone full bore into Minecraft, because at some point... It doesn't matter how big a castle I'm building, because there never will be an invasion. You know, there's never going to be... It's not like the settlements, which, you know, you're building up for some sort of purpose. It really is just for your own imagination or for your own aesthetic appreciation. And you can build stories around that. I do always get to a point where... Because I also have only played solo. I don't play on a server. Nobody else sees the things that I build.
Keep it hidden.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. At some point, my ability to care dies out, and I go on to something else.
Right.
I do part of it. I love survival games, so I've played modded Minecraft to add elements that make it harder for you to stay alive. And because of the simplicity of the game, because the building blocks, the graphics aren't very sophisticated, there is some incredible depth in how you can put it all back together. That is sort of, it's more limited in games that are complex. They have to predefine how things are going to sort of operate.
Yeah.
And the great thing about something like Minecraft is that the possibilities are really practically infinite. And that can be fun to sort of mess around with, do something that nobody else has done.
I don't know. That sounds scary to me.
Well, there's two things I really like about the game. My two favorite parts. The part I probably play the most is I play a lot in hardcore mode, which is everything is set to 11 as far as difficulty. And then when you die, the save file is deleted.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I really like the early game. I like the first, 8 or 10, having to scout a location, go, oh my God, I got to find food. It's just, I'm not pretending it like I'm some sort of weird just survival man. It's something about that part of the game I really like. And then you get sort of the mid game where it stops being a survival game and becomes basically creative mode, where you're just building something and then you're coming up with resources. It becomes a resource management game after the early game, where it's no longer survival. Then it becomes resource management. And then when that's done, it gets to the third part of the game, and this is where I do some crazy stuff, and I go, okay, this is just getting ridiculous. I need to move on with my life. And have I mentioned that Minecraft is Turing complete?
You'll have to explain that to me, I think, and potentially some of our audience.
Okay, so circuits, do you know what a universal Turing machine is? Mm-hmm. It's usually visualizes, we're talking Alan Turing, World War II. It's visualizes a machine that can, that has basically like a tape or a chain running through it that has an information encoded on it some way. And it has a way to self-modify, what's on the tape, basically. That's an incredibly terrible description, but it basically outlines what a modern computer is. It's able to basically run some sort of logical circuit, do a logical process that can essentially do anything that can be done with logic. And one of the major, and when you call something Turing complete, it's when you can prove that it's capable of doing anything that a Turing machine can do. Including emulate other machines. So people have designed, so you've got this mineral in Minecraft called redstone, with which you can make wires with it, you can make connections, you can make power sources, but you can also make transistors, you can also make diodes, you can basically make an AND gate, an AND gate, an OR gate, an exclusive OR gate, like all of this weird, just discrete logic circuitry. So people are making 16-bit. I've seen a 16-bit ALU. I've seen a version of Pong. I'm waiting for somebody to make a Java virtual machine that runs inside of Minecraft so you can play Minecraft in Minecraft. That's coming. But given the resources, you might require everything in the top 500 supercomputer list to do it.
Now this is trespassing on a point that I used to open the last show, which is about the thing that Elon Musk apparently brought back to the fore, which is the simulation hypothesis. If the possibility of humanity going long enough that ancestors might be running ancestor simulations,
right?
We might all be a simulation, but then there is the terrifying prospect of what happens if us inside the simulation gets our tools get so sophisticated that we run simulations inside the simulation and the processing power might be too much to do a simulation inside of a simulation, so they delete us.
Oh, man.
So which is why I say,
maybe it's just fractal. Maybe it just goes on.
It could be. But I, for one, welcome our simulation running overlords, and don't delete me, bro. That's all I'm going to say. Don't delete me.
I do have an idea of a romantic comedy based off of that principle, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably talk about it. No.
Pitch it.
No way.
Give me the elevator pitch.
No, this is going on the air. Screw you.
Feel free to steal Sam's idea.
But then I also do stuff like I build what I call moral chicken killing machines. Or just, automatic food harvesters. So there's three eras. There's three main eras in Minecraft. There's the I'm going to die, dig a hole and hide in it era. There's the I'm building a house era. Where do I find sticks? Or can I get quite the right shade of wool? Answer, it's Minecraft. No. third era is I've decided to emulate the Motorola 68040 inside of Minecraft with a mind towards building an Amiga emulator.
These things could happen. It's possible.
I will say I'm bad at Minecraft. I think this is why I peter out, is at some point I have to confront my own creative limitations.
I think that's why I don't like it, actually.
I played once on a server with another person. I played with my brother. And what we did is we found this lovely valley with a river running through it, mountain peaks on both sides. And we sort of split it up. We figured equitably, you take that side of the river, I'll take this side of the river. And so kind of got things started. I built myself a nice little stone tower and a bridge, and I look across the way, and my brother has a Viking longhouse with spider-proof walls built all around it, and he hits a button and it opens a water slide that takes him all the way down the hill. I don't want to play anymore.
That's very similar to my experience. Yeah. My house was like a box. And then, because I was only playing with one other person, too, and I was like, where are you? And, and I went and found them, and they had built a fucking castle. Mm-hmm. And I just, built a bed in there. And I was like, well, I guess I'm here now, because I don't want to go back there.
I really like building underground, because then I don't have to give a shit about what the outside looks like. Big box is fine. But for me, in that respect...
You are a dwarf.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But in that case, Minecraft might be a visualization of precisely the length of my attention span. in that it's like I'll have these grand ideas. Oh, this will be my grand hall with a chandelier and a bar and another bar and, cows, because I'm not going to have, you know, villagers because they make a lot of dumb noise. And then so you can see where I start. And then at some point along the line, I go, ah, fuck it. And then just finish it up with stone. And it's like really obvious where I just ran out of interest.
I think it's funny. Like in all, it's so weird. I feel like such a hypocrite whenever I talk about Minecraft. I'm like, well, I don't like making things. And everyone's like, well, what about your Fallout 4 settlements? And I'm like, well, those are like kind of a set plan already for me in a way. Like I need to have this much defense. I need to do this much of this.
Yeah, and you don't get to design it at all. You get like three types of wall.
Well,
I
don't find it hypocritical because the way you were describing it, it sounds like it's in service of a narrative that you're
participating
in a story.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, but it is, but it isn't, because sometimes as part of a quest, you have to, I've got to build this settlement up so X number of settlers can be here, and then you move on. Now, anything you do over and above that is purely by your own,
But it is a direction, and it does serve a larger story, does it not?
But you don't have to do anything other than something very, very basic.
Right. Yeah. The only reason I install a chandelier in my big great room in my underwater secret base is because I want a chandelier in the great room of my underwater secret base. There is no narrative beyond,
well, maybe
I wonder
if I
can do a chandelier.
Most of the places in Fallout 4 don't really require, and again, you just set up a radio tower, then you immediately dismantle the radio tower and move those people back to this other location, because I don't want to have to defend and build this many different locations. I'd rather have one or two really awesome places rather than a bunch of shitty ones.
At least in Fallout, like if it looks shitty, you're like, it's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah,
it's
better than everything else.
Yeah, there's some really great stuff you can come up with in there. And
Cobalt Chic, I believe it's called.
Yeah, when you eventually manage to make something look kind of good, it feels, I mean, kind of good is like the fucking BMW of post-apocalyptic housing.
Right.
Where you're like, I think I figured out a way to put that hole in the wall patched up. And you're like, say. So there's some pretty cool stuff I've come up with in there. And it's always a compromise, but again, it's not requiring anything to look amazing. So
Fallout also has power armor.
It does. And in Fallout 4, it finally feels like power armor.
Yay!
Where you get to walk around like the Terminator. It's exciting. Some of the experiences I've had in that game.
Mm-hmm. I just built a hanger for all of my power armor, and I wanted like one of each kind and one of each paint color, and I could just walk down there and be like, yes, walk down my rows of power armor.
Yeah, they definitely understood. They understood how to focus the hoarding instinct, the collection and the hoarding instinct for Fallout 4.
I have 25 double crates full of cobblestone alone in my map right now. Well, Microsoft wins hoarding because Minecraft wins hoarding because you collect things. I have 5 or 6 crates full of zombie meat, which you really can't eat because it poisons you. It's good for dogs, but I hate dogs, so I don't have one. So I just have this meat for no reason at all. Because I don't want to throw it away. My friend actually in Minecraft, as far as hangers go, they made this thing where he would stand in a square and press a button and he would sink into the ground and then armor would be put on him and then he would pop back out of the ground.
That's awesome.
It was really cool.
Great.
It's like very Iron Man.
Yeah, no kidding.
The thing I think I really miss in the Fallout games is something that was in Skyrim, which is I don't have things that I can hang on the wall to display my weapons and my armor. Because sometimes I have a bunch of shit that I'm never going to use that, but it looks weird. And it'd be kind of nice to hang this giant thing on the wall, and I kind of miss that.
Again, one of the things that a mod would solve is that you can take the pegboards and put your weapons on them, which is clearly something they intended to be in the game because it's in the intro section.
It's in the opening load screen.
Yep.
So you guys don't play online stuff at all? You're mostly single-player games? Is that the sense I'm getting it?
I'm only good at a game if I'm playing it by myself.
Okay.
I find people online to be intolerable. So
okay. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Well, if I'm for the defense of Minecraft here, I suppose I'd say Minecraft is about the only game I play multiplayer. I do run a server.
Griefing is a thing though, right? I mean, Griefing is a thing in Minecraft too, which is can make it very unfun for beginner players.
Right.
And
so what
who
I do
ambitious.
So play by yourself, or what I've done is I run my own server on the same hardware that you downloaded this podcast from. but it's just for me and like 8 other people. It's whitelisted, so you just can't get on there. And yeah, we're all on the same server. We're all in the in the same world, but the level of interaction that we have among each other is, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Type stuff where it's like, hey, I need this thing for my brewing stand, or somebody needs access to another portal, and it's like, well, I got that. Yeah, go ahead, grab it. And that's about the level of multiplayer that I'd be able to hack on Minecraft. Any more than that, I'd get too many cooks in the kitchen pretty quick.
It sounds like your conception follows Robert Frost's rumination on good neighbors.
Wow.
Good fences make good neighbors, Sam. Stay the hell away from my house.
Although, I would say Minecraft groups have gotten together, and with the aid of some texture mods and things like that, have you seen the Westeros project?
What?
Yes.
It is. You owe it to yourself to look up the pictures that people have made. King's Landing in full. There are people have modeled countries in Minecraft.
Well, there's this one guy who's been trying to build the Enterprise D as best he can for like the last 10 years.
So, yeah. But some of the most amazing of them are groups of people that get together and build extraordinary things far beyond what you'd think could even be possible with, you know, using simple blocks. And it's neat. Especially consider it's, you know, it is for no purpose, right? It's just, you can just build the thing that you want to build. But people may use it to build these incredible scale models of real places, and that sort of creative liberty is kind of inspiring. It's a neat thing.
It's time enjoyed is not time wasted. I think that can be said of all video games. Sure.
Oh yeah.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
Radio vs. the Martians is produced by Mike Gillis and Casey Doran. Our editor was Mike Gillis. Our theme music was written and performed by Todd Maxfield Matsumoto. Find us online at radioversusthemartians.com and send us your feedback at info@radioversusthemartians.com.